It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I am Pastor Keith Manley, and it's my privilege to share with you today the Word of God. You know, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Simon Peter. Did you know that other than Jesus, Peter's name was mentioned in the Gospels more than any other name? And Jesus spoke to him, or he spoke to Jesus more than any other person in the four Gospels. And Jesus also rebuked him more than he rebuked anyone else. Peter denied Jesus. We know there are several things about Peter that are very distinctive. He's the only one that walked on water. When Jesus said, "Come to me," Peter just took right off walking on the water. And Peter really became a leader in the early church. And Simon Peter wrote two epistles in the New Testament. We have the book of 1 Peter, and we have the book of 2 Peter. I want to take a verse-by-verse journey through Peter's writings here as we start today by studying the book of 1 Peter. He begins by saying in verse 1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." After the resurrection, when Jesus reinstated Peter, he became a different person. He became the person that Jesus would actually have preached that first sermon on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. Peter found his identity in Christ. That's why he begins by saying, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." No longer Peter the fisherman. Now he's Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Peter brings out at the very beginning of his writings that he's writing this book to God's elect. The word elect means chosen. Do you know, friend, God chose you? The Bible says He chose us before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in Christ. So to God's elect, strangers in the world. So many times we think of this world as our home, but we're really strangers here. We're citizens of heaven, and we're pilgrims here on this earth. Peter wishes his fellow Christians two things. He says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Grace is God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do in yourself. And shalom is that divine peace that God gives us, knowing that we don't have to worry about anything because our God will work it out for our good. Peter addresses this letter to God's elect, chosen ones. He's referring here to the foreknowledge of God, that He knows the end from the beginning, and He knows those whom He has called by what Peter called the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus called us, when God called us through the Holy Spirit, He called us to be sanctified and become like Jesus. And He did so, Peter says, by the sprinkling by His blood. He entered that new blood covenant with us. In the next couple of verses, Peter is going to tell us what it really means to be saved. He says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." See, friend, when you believe upon Jesus Christ, when you believe that God raised Him from the dead, you're into this new living hope, a new birth. We're born again, the Scripture says. Peter says He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Wow, get this. We're born into a living hope, and we're born into an inheritance. See, God adopted us into His family. And through Jesus, we have an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, or never fade, and it's kept in heaven for you. That gives me great assurance with my salvation, knowing that it's kept in heaven for me by what Jesus did on the cross. In verse 5, he goes on, he says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. See, this is something that we get confused on sometimes about being saved, because I was saved at the cross. I am being saved now, and I will be saved when Christ returns for me one day and he splits the eastern sky and he comes to take me home. My spirit is made perfect at the moment of salvation when I receive Jesus. My soul, my thoughts, feelings, and my emotions, my mind, that's going through a daily process of being saved. I renew my mind daily. And it's important to remember what Peter says here. We are shielded by God's power until that coming day of salvation when Christ comes for us. We're shielded by God's power. I love how this passage begins by Peter saying, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth. You know what the difference in mercy and grace is? Grace is when you get something you don't deserve. But mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. See, God gave me salvation. It's something I don't deserve. But he spared me hell through his mercy. So Peter spent the first 5 verses explaining this wonderful salvation we have. It's God's merciful gift to us. And we come to verse 6 where he says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So Peter's saying, you don't rejoice that you have trials, you rejoice in your salvation that enables you to go through the trials. Then in verse 7, he tells us the reason for the trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He tells us the purpose behind the pain. These come so that your faith is proved genuine, and God will be praised as the end result. I have no doubt that someone listening today, you're going through those trials that Peter is talking about here, those trials that make you suffer grief, but God wants you to know the end result will bring glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. I don't believe he's talking here about when Jesus comes back with the second coming. I believe he's revealed when he brings us through the storm and we can look back and say, that was God. That was God who brought me through that horrible trial that I never thought I would make it through the storm. And when we see the purpose behind the pain, it's then that Jesus is revealed to us. And we can then say, now I know why I faced the storm. Verse 8, he picks up again and says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, my friend, testing and trials, they're a part of the process. We go through that in this journey we call life. But Peter's saying, you love him even though you haven't seen him. Yet you believe in him, and you're filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now Peter's going to elaborate on that salvation when we get to verse 10. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. I think Peter is saying here, man, can you imagine Isaiah reading the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Can you imagine him seeing the very prophecies that He prophesied in Isaiah 53, come to pass on the cross. He took our infirmities and carried our diseases, and by his stripes were healed. He says the prophets who spoke of this, they searched intently, trying to find out when Messiah would come. But you are receiving that salvation by faith in Yeshua Jesus. Verse 12, he says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, said this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. You and I are heirs of a salvation that even the angels long to look into. The prophets anticipated it, but you and I have become heirs of salvation. Let's continue now in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13, he begins to give us some information about the conduct of the believer. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Now, why would Peter say that? Because, friend, the battle is fought in the area of our mind. That's where spiritual warfare takes place. So he says, therefore, and I've always taught you when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. This is one of the heavy verses. Prepare your minds for action. How do we prepare our minds? We do so by renewing our mind with the Word of God, by reading God's Word and implanting it in our hearts, memorizing it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which you're going to fight the enemy with. Peter says, prepare your minds for action. And then he says, be self-controlled. He's talking here about controlling our flesh. If we want to be spirit-led, we have to be self-controlled. He says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, it's through his grace that I'm able to do what I do today. Not my own power, not my own ability, but I've prepared my mind for action, and my hope is set on the grace that's revealed through Jesus Christ. Now remember, the definition I give you for grace is God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do in yourself. As obedient children, he says in verse 14, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. See, that's what the world wants us to do, is just to conform, to go along with the pattern society lays out for us. But Peter tells us, don't conform. In verse 15, he said, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You see, righteousness is a gift, friend, but holiness is a walk. Holiness is a decision that we make to be like God, to be Christ-like. There you have the reason why we should live above sin, why we should say no to all the temptation that the devil hits us with and the mud he tries to drag you down into the mud. We say no because God wants us to be holy because he is holy. This week we're studying Peter's first letter that he wrote to the church, the book of 1 Peter. Some real great truths here on the salvation that God has given us freely in Christ Jesus. And now Peter's telling us how to walk out the walk and not just talk the talk. Thanks for joining me today on Fresh Oil. It's been a great day. I'd love to hear from you. Go by the website. It's really easy. WeNeedGod.com. And my email address is KeithManley@me.com. And I'd love to hear from you this week. Remember, friend, God loves you. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at WeNeedGod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, He makes His mercies new every morning.